or not, but we weren't here just by accident. You were born for a reason and a purpose, and God's got a plan for that. And the only one that can stop that plan is you. The devil can't stop it. People around you cannot stop it. But you are the only one that can stop the plan in your life. You're the only one that can. And nobody else can. And so Jesus talked about how in his lifetime he used a lot of natural illustrations for spiritual illustrations. He used the natural things for spiritual illustrations. And he talked about us being sheep and how talked about as wheat, when tares are actually planted among those that are wheat, children of God. The devil planted people in between that. And he also compared us to fruit. And one of the things he talked about more than anything was he commanded us to be fruitful. That's what he did. Now, the devil is a god of division and subtraction. He likes to tear stuff up and divide it and take things away. But our God is a God of addition and multiplication. He likes to see us grow and things in our lives to multiply and our fruit to be what it needs to be. And so God is all that for us. And so even in Genesis, God said to the old Adam and Eve, he said, be fruitful and multiply. That's what he said. And so it's up to us to be fruitful and multiply. But there's some things that we have to set in order for our fruit to be protected. And we're going to talk about that this morning. So Brother Blake said today that he was a rancher or a farmer, so we must be getting farm news this morning, because we're going to talk about fence rows. And anybody ever build fence and have to clean out the fence row before you build it? Well, there's a lot of things that go on in that. We're going to look at how fence rows are today and what we can do with a fence row. So the first thing I want to talk to you about this morning, number one, is that you got to claim your fence rows. So in other words, you got to know where your boundaries are. There's a lot of people in life who get born again, who believers, may even get baptized. As we're having a baptism this morning, I think we're baptizing 5 or 6 people today, and that's great. We've had people get saved in the last couple, 3 weeks, and I'm thankful for you to be here, and if you're here to watch those people be baptized, God bless you. We're going to give them a certificate of baptism. After a while, we're all going to get wet together. The water was completely gone this morning. I could not warm it up. I mean, it was supposed to be room temperature. It's not. I had to refill that baby this morning, and I got the heater on. I just hope, and Brother Darrell said, well, it's no problem. I'll baptize in some cold creeks. And I said, well, it won't be any colder than the creek, but I think it'll be a little better than that this morning. But God bless you for being here. The reason I said all that was that we do some of these things, but we don't know where our boundaries are. We don't know where to stop and where to go a lot of times. And so one of the things about us, we got to remember this. You got to know where your boundaries are. If you've got property lines anywhere and you got a fence line, most people have had surveys in the past. Or if you've got a neighbor that's got a fence, most of you have agreed that's where the fence line is. You need to know where your boundaries are. You can't allow your cows to go on the other side. You can't allow somebody else's cows to get on yours, whatever that might be. So we need to know where. We got to claim, first thing, you got to claim your fence rows. Now look what 2 Timothy 1:7 says. You got to know who you are, because God's got a plan for you. You got to remember that. And the plan is that we bear fruit. That's his plan for us. And how we do that is very important. But 2 Timothy 1:7 says this: for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So do you know that the boundary for the devil is this? He cannot come into your territory unless you invite him in. You see, God has protected us with a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. Now, the spirit of fear is where the devil comes to come and push your fence row back toward you, or maybe get on your side of the fence. That's where you got to tell him, stay over there on your property. Don't get on our property. And that's what we have to know. Now, the second part of that verse is in verse 8. It says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Now, this is Paul writing this. So he's saying, listen, don't be ashamed of God or me, the one, because we're both promoting what needs to be done, and that's the kingdom. Now, you see, a lot of people's boundaries are this. They are afraid to get outside their boundaries, and they're a little bit afraid and ashamed maybe of presenting who Jesus is. We don't need to be ashamed of the gospel. We don't ever need to be ashamed of the gospel. We don't need to be ashamed of God. And Paul was saying, don't be ashamed of me either, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. In other words, there are some things you and I are going to have to do and deal with. We can say we're suffering if you want to say that. We're really not, in a sense, we're not suffering like they did back then. But it's a job. Sometimes it becomes work to do the right thing. And so there's a thing in our boundary lines that we call, in real estate, it's called adverse possession. Adverse possession comes up when somebody actually takes a piece of your property and they can fence it off and begin to use it, and not only use it, they can maintain it. And for 15 years, if they do that for 15 years without your knowledge or without your permission, they can actually obtain that by adverse possession. Now, it's not really a right, it's pretty much stealing. If that's what you want, it's really, we got to call it what it is. Now, I can understand a driveway being on somebody that you've driven over for years, and the lines may be over there in the corner, it kind of cuts across it. That might be one thing. But to actually set up shop and intend to steal somebody's property. I was selling real estate years ago, and we sold a big farm. There was about 800 acres there. And there was a man had actually fenced off 20 acres about 10 or 12 years previous to that. He fenced it off. The owners were way off somewhere else, and they didn't come check on their property much. So what happened is the guy fences it off. He starts using it, starts baling hay on it. It was good pasture land. We get ready to sell the piece of property, and they get to looking at it, and we say, hey, this 20 acres goes with this. And this guy said, no, it's mine. And we said, how can it be yours? You don't have a deed to it. Well, I've adversely possessed it for the past 10 or 12 years. Well, we had to go to court. And in order to get a commission, I had to make sure we could get all that stuff done. So the guys sued, somebody sued the guy to get it all back. They went to court, and it was true. He had actually maintained possession of it for 10 to 12 years, but he had not maintained it for the 15. The judge found it in the favor of the guy that owned the land originally and said, you got to give the 20 acres back because it's not yours. And that's really the right thing to do. The guy actually intended to steal it. That's what he was doing. I said all that to say this. A lot of times the devil comes in on your territory, and you didn't invite him, and you don't want him there, but he sneaks in ways we might not understand yet. And when he does that, he starts messing with us, and he tries to take our stuff that God has given us. That's why he tries to trade your power for fear and let you know he'll come in on your territory. So you got to bound, you got to claim your boundaries, wherever that is. You can't let the devil come in on your side and begin to put his stuff on you, because he will come in and steal what you got. So you got to make sure on your fence rows they're right. Make sure you watch them. So you got to claim your fence rows. You know where your boundaries are. You got to know where they are. You got to know where you stand. You got to know who you are in God. That God hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And if we stay on track there, the devil, we watch what he's doing. Don't let him come across the fence. Keep him on his side. What happens a lot of times, we build gates in those fences, and we invite the devil in certain things that we shouldn't really be doing, but we do. It's just small stuff at first, because usually somebody starts out real small, then it gets bigger. That's what he does. So you have to be careful not just to build a gate and invite him in, because he'll adversely possess what you got and try to take your stuff. Number two, you got to clean your fence rows. Not only do you got to know where they are, you got to clean them. Now, I was working this week at home, and I was there cleaning out some fence rows there at my house. And that's where I got this message. I'm standing there thinking, man, these things are growing. This fence row was back over there about 4 foot. All of a sudden, there's things growing out here in my field, and it's getting in my hay field, so in my pasture. So I had to say, okay, I got to cut all that back. And you need to know something, that it's important that you clean your fence rows. Look what Proverbs 24 says in verse 30. And this is Solomon writing this, and he talks about this. He sees this, and he writes about it. He says, I went by the field of a lazy man. Now, the King James says a slothful man. And lazy and slothful is kind of the same. But let me read you what slothful actually means. Slothful means this, is to be idle or to be inactive. If you let a fence row and you grow up and you're inactive to that, it will grow out and completely take your fruit. See, we're talking about bearing fruit and God's plan for you. So if you don't know what's going on here, this fence row gets there, and if you become sluggish and idle, your fence row will start growing out into where your pasture is or whatever fruit is you got growing out there, and it'll begin to take it just a little at a time. It means to be slow. Slothful means to be slow or dull. And I like this last part of what it means in slothful. It means this one is listless. In other words, it never makes a list. So I don't make lists. That may be part of your problem, because if you don't know what you're doing today or tomorrow, whatever it is, and you don't have a list in your mind on your phone written down or something, you will bypass something. How many of you ladies make lists when you go to the grocery store? Y'all just go in there. Now, old timers used to all make lists. That's why I'm old. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Nobody has a clue what I'm saying. Make a grocery list. When I know something, we're missing something, I write on the refrigerator. We got to deal up there. Hey, we need this, we need this, something else. And so make a list. Here's the thing about it. If you don't consciously make an effort to clean that fence row, what's going to happen is the first year there's going to be just a sprout or two show up. And then the next year, that'll be a little further out. And in 3 or 4 years, you've lost 4 or 5 feet, all because we didn't clean those fence rows. And here's the thing about spiritually speaking. It says here, I went by the field of a slothful man and the vineyard of a man devoid of understanding. He didn't understand it. If he didn't clean his fence row, it was going to get worse. And look what happens to his stuff in verse 31. It says, and there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Now, back in Bible times, they didn't have barbed wire and in post drivers. They used rock walls. That's what they used. And it says it was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. They had not maintained it. They didn't keep the wall clean. They didn't keep that fence cleaned out. Next verse. And I saw it, and I considered it well, and I looked on it, and I received instruction. You see, Solomon not only went by and saw it, he began to ponder on it. Man, I don't want to do that. I'm not sure that that's the right thing to do. And I thought about this saying. A wise man said this one time. He said, wise men will profit more by fools than fools will by wise men. Because wise men avoid the faults of fools, but fools will never imitate the virtues of wise men. You see, he was looking at this as a wise man saying, I don't want my fences to look like that because they're going to get broken down. We got to maintain what's going on, spiritually speaking, for us. And look, it says, and when I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it, and I received instructions. Verse 33 says this, a little sleep, a little slumber. In other words, being slothful or lazy. A little folding of the hands to rest, and look what happens. It says, so shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man. Now let me read it out of another version so you'll make sure that you understand what it's saying. It says, poverty will pounce on you like a bandit, and your lack will attack you like an armed robber. In other words, if you don't keep your fence rows cleaned out, and you don't make sure that things in your life are where they need to be, there's a lot of things that we're going to look at here that get caught up in that fence row that we don't clean out. And if that happens, you're going to get caught up in a way that you don't want to. Now, the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by God, or a good woman. They're ordered by God. God has a plan for you, and that plan can only be altered by you, nobody else. And so that plan for you is that God wants us to be fruitful. That's part of what it is. But in doing that, in order to keep those fence rows and from growing out into this field and taking over your crop or your pasture or your corn, whatever that is, you have to make sure you maintain it, keep it clean. And there's a lot of things in life, spiritually speaking, that we can do because there's a lot of things that we look at all the time. There's bitterness in people's lives that actually has crept out over the years and you didn't realize you were that bitter, but all of a sudden something comes up and it brings out the worst in you. Maybe forgiveness. You got some unforgiveness against somebody. And you have to let that go. They got to clean that out because that fence row will become where it begins covered over with the very wall that's protecting you, and it will cause things to rot down or tear up. You see, it's not worth it not to forgive somebody. There was a guy that I knew that had worked with Karen and had done some stuff and actually put her name on stuff that she didn't do, and I was frustrated, and I said some stuff, and I saw him here a while back, and I walked straight up to him, and when I saw him, I was aggravated because there was two things. One, he did that against her, but number two, it could have jeopardized this whole church and the way they look at us if they thought she was a fraud. And so I was frustrated about it, and I thought he put our ministry on the line by doing something he shouldn't have done, and I was upset. And I remember seeing him, and the Holy Spirit said, you haven't forgiven that guy. And I said, I don't want to forgive that guy. But God began to deal with me. You need to go tell him you're sorry. So I walked over there, shook his hand. I said, listen, there's some things come up. And I'm just going to tell you, I apologize. I said some stuff I shouldn't have said, and I was frustrated. So I want you to forgive me. And he said, okay, I appreciate that. Now, he never said anything back. He never apologized for anything. But that wasn't what I was after. I was after the fact that God was dealing with me because my fence row was getting a little bit weeded out here and got some weeds in it. And if I'm going to keep it clean and know where my boundaries are, I got to keep it clean. So I went and asked him to forgive me, and he said, okay, I appreciate that. And there was no hard feelings. You see, every so often we got to clean up stuff in our life that creeps in. There's people that deal with our past, and our past sometimes will creep into where we are. You might have went through a failed relationship, and those things can be very frustrating because things don't work out like you want. Just keep hanging on. Just don't get out there. Keep your fence clean the best you can and let God take care of it. I want to show you a picture of something that I went in this week. We've been working on the salon for the past couple months, and I went in my shop the other day. Actually, my wife, I was going in and out of there, but that ain't me right there. I don't know if y'all know me or not. That ain't it. And look, I want to show you a picture of where every time I'd come in from working up there, show my truck picture. I'd pull my flatbed, and I didn't have time to throw my tools on top of my flatbed. And so there was no room in there. You had to walk around everything. It was all cluttered up, and I would be so tired when I got in, I didn't want to put those tools up. I just began to throw them in my truck, and then I couldn't even use my truck because I had all kinds of stuff, extension cords hanging off of it, and I was using my other truck. And so Karen comes in the house the other day, and she goes, "Your shop's a wreck." I'm going, "You're right, it is, and I can't handle it." So when I took off last week, I had 18 things on my phone to do last week at my house. And you know what? I got all of them done but one. And the only reason that one is because I blew up a pressure hose on a power washer. But I'll get it done this week. So I started on that shop. That was my number one thing on my list. Now here's what my shop looks like today, and this is what it should look like. That's what it's supposed to look like. See, I can't stand not being out of place because all of a sudden you throw a tool here because you don't have time, and you lay something up and let God, you don't deal with it. God's saying, "Hey, you need to put that up. You need to get rid of that." And we'll say, "Well, I'll forgive them later. I'll do it later." And then there's some bitterness in there, and you say, "Well, I'll try to get rid of that later." But it just keeps piling up and piling up, and the next thing you know, the problem with this was I was having to walk around that truck, and there was no room for me to work. I couldn't move the truck up because there was stuff in front of it. I had to walk around it, and there was no place to work. The problem with clutter in our lives and not cleaning out the fence rows and the same messes, it does not leave us room to work and doesn't let God room to work in us. It takes space away from God. That's what it does. God's space is that we be fruitful all the way up to the fence. But we've got so many things in that fence row that's messing us up. We're talking about a lot of different things. It could be there could be envy and strife. Or it could be pride. There could be a lot of things that we have around that fence row, and it's choking out God's process of the fruit growing in our life. So the room actually runs out, and there's no room for God because everything's all cluttered up in our life. So I had to take a picture of before and after, because usually when I go in my shop, I can go straight to what I need to do and find it, and I can get what I need. I couldn't do this the other day because it was that bad. Look what Colossians 3:12 says. It's a decision to forgive. Check this out. One of the things we're talking about. This is Paul writing this. He says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on the tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering." That's all the fruit of the Spirit. He's telling us to do that. And how we do that is this next verse. You got to check this out. It says, "Bearing one another with one another and forgiving one another." Isn't that hard to do sometimes? We don't want to forgive. We want to just be frustrated. "If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." We got to forgive. It's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. And when we let that stuff grow out of our fence row and don't keep it clean, it begins to push into God's territory and our fruit becomes limited. Then we can't have humility and meekness and long-suffering and kindness and all that kind of stuff. It gets frustrating. And we have to be careful that we don't mess things up because God's trying to produce fruit in it. It's a decision. It's a decision we got to make. There are certain people that have to make strong decisions in order for things to work. I thought about two guys. They were in camp together, and there was this. They were out in the middle of nowhere, and they were camping, and they were talking about how a good time they were having. And all of a sudden, just out of the blue, here comes this big grizzly bear in camp, and he's growling at him, and he's going to eat him. And the first guy jumps up and says, "What are we going to do?" They didn't have a gun. They were just kind of camping, and the first guy starts grabbing some shoes and tying his shoes up real good, and the guy says, "You can't outrun that bear." And he said, "I ain't going to try to outrun that bear. I just got to outrun you. The bear can have you, not me." But we have to make conscious decisions about how we're going to do things. And forgiveness is a decision. Let me say this. Just because you forgive somebody doesn't mean you want to go eat lunch with them. It doesn't mean you're going to be best friends. It doesn't mean all that. It just means that you've released them from the fact that what they've done to you, you don't hold it against them anymore. Will you ever forget it? Possibly not, but we choose not to bring it up. Say, well, if you really forgive, you forgot. Well, that's not true. You forgot stuff that happened when you were a kid. That means we're all sinners then, right? No, it doesn't mean that. It means that you can forgive somebody, you can remember it, because let me ask you this. If somebody borrowed $1,000 from you, and you forgave them the debt, and they come back 2 weeks later and borrow $1,000, you say, well, I forgot all about that. Here, have another $1,000 of mine. You would say, well, now hold on here a minute. I forgave you for the last one that you didn't give, but I can't give you another $1,000. But I still forgive you for the other, but I'm not going to do this again. So you got to understand how forgiveness works. Forgiveness doesn't mean we feel like it all the time. It's a decision that we're going to do it regardless of how we feel. Because our feelings can be our biggest liars. Feelings don't always do what we need to do. But the Spirit of God commands us that we forgive. And it's a commandment, so we have to forgive. That's what we do. We just say, God, I forgive. And it's a conscious decision. I'm not going to hold that against him anymore. I'm letting it go. And every time I see him, I'm not going to get fuzzed up like a cat when you rub it the wrong way. You know how a cat does? A cat loves you to rub it the right way. But you ever rub it backwards and it'll back up and kind of look at you. So you don't want that. Be conscious enough to have forgiveness for somebody, and that cleans that part of that offense roll you need to. Whether you've got pride in your life, whether you've got bitterness, all the things that go along with some of this stuff, you got to learn just to let it go. And the third thing is this. We've got to control the fence lines. Song of Solomon says this. We've got to control them. Not only got to claim them, we got to keep them clean, we got to control them. Now, once you clean the fence line, if you go out there and you cut off a sprout with a pair of shears, whatever you're cutting them off with, you're pruning them. If you just let that go, you know what's going to happen next year? There's going to be about 5 or 6 more sprouts come up out of that. And you're going to have to clean it again. So you need to control it. Not only do you need to cut it out, you need to kill it out. And so you got to be able to control that. So look what the Song of Solomon says about the foxes. He says, catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. In other words, we need to get rid of the small stuff that become big. You know, a small word can become big if you don't let it go. Eventually, it'll become big in your mind and be hard to forgive somebody. But you have to learn how to forgive. Not only that, you got to let this stuff go. Because if you have pride in your life and somebody pats you on the back for a good job and you kind of get the big head, the next thing you know, it just gets something in the deep. Then you have the need for people to tell you that it's good, and small things become big. Then there's a need for somebody to tell you that you're doing a good job. And I know today we're doing a volunteer dinner for everybody that volunteers in this church, and we're going to feed you guys. And we want to tell you we appreciate you. But I would hate to have to run around every week and tell everybody, hey man, I appreciate you. Hey man, I appreciate you. Because there's going to be about 75 people out there. And I want to do that all at one time. But a lot of times we get caught up in, well, nobody appreciates me. Let me tell you this. God appreciates you, and he's keeping a record of everything that you're doing. And when you control the fences, you're saying this, it doesn't matter about anything else, but I'm going to keep these fences clean. I'm going to control them. I'm going to make sure they're right. You see, believers are like vines. They may be useful plants, but sometimes we get a little weak, where our fruit is as tender as anything. But we first have to come to maturity. In order for that fruit to become mature, it has to be protected. And so we got to protect it from the small foxes, the things that can ruin it. You've seen this as well as I have. People have been born again, come in, give their heart and life to God, get baptized. But as time goes on, small offenses or something that's been an offense to them becomes a part of their life, and they never get past it because their fruit hadn't matured to where they can say, I just let it go. They were offended by something, and offenses are something else you got to clean out of your life. That's where actually unforgiveness comes from, is an offense somewhere, but there can be an offense to someone, and they never get over it, and they never mature, and so their fruit never gets where it needs to be, and they never become effective in the kingdom of God. And all of a sudden, the plan for their life was altered by them. Not by God. The devil threw it out there, they took the bait, and all of a sudden they're offended over something. Now let me say this. When you control the fence lines, things do not grow up in the fence lines, you keep them down. And the reason for that is this. God wants us to see past the fence where we live. We got to see past where we are. A lot of people can only see where they are. That's it. They can't see past that. And if the fence line is grown up, all they will see is what's on the inside of the fence. But if they could ever see past that, they would see there's more things out there. How many of you know in real estate, they always said, location, location, location is everything. And they would always say, man, it's got a great view. And everybody that wants to live on the lake wants to have a lake view. That's what they want. They'll be able to see the lake. And everybody that goes to our cabin say, man, you got a great view, and that's what you're looking for. But you can't have a great view if you don't know where your line is, you don't clean it out, and you don't control it and keep it up, because what's going to happen is your view is going to be blinded by all this stuff growing up in this fence row, and all you can see is all the brush and the briars and the blackberry vines and all that. All you can see is that. You can't see past where God wants you to be, because all you can see is what's in here. So we have to start getting heavenly minded, looking past this, because God's got a plan for you, and it's outside that fence sometimes. We don't go inside of a place, build a fence, and decide to stay in there forever and never leave the fence. Now, there are some people that have done that, people that you've heard about this, like Waco and places like that. They had their own confines or whatever, and they all lived within each other. I was laughing here at somebody. It's been a few years back. We bought this 90 acres back here. And someone came to me and said, is it true that all your congregation are selling their houses and they're all going to build houses back there? I said, well, that I ain't heard that one. That's a pretty good one. I think that's funny. But, I mean, no. That's why they were calling y'all Maxonites. They thought we were going to build a commune back there and put all of our houses, and you were going to sell all your houses, and everybody was going to have a big house addition back there. We're going to have our own school, own kids, and we weren't leaving the premises. I said, I want to tell you something. They don't like me that good. They run me off in about a week after being around here with them all that long. They say, hey, won't you get out of my house and leave me alone? But see, people have the concept that we don't just build a fence and stay inside of it. You build a fence for protection from the devil, protection from different things, protection from the outside in a natural sense. You protect it from other people's things or whatever it might be. But we don't live inside that fence. And if we can't see outside that fence, we'll never know what's on the outside to be able spiritually to go out there and say, look, there's things I see. God's given us a vision. The Bible said that people perish for lack of vision. You got to have a vision. And if you can't see past the fence you're in, all you'll see is what you got in front of you. And there will be nothing beautiful outside that, because in all reality, sometimes this old world's not always easy to deal with. We have things in our life. We have sickness, and we have people that pass away, and our loved ones die. We have broken relationships. You have physical handicaps and different things we deal with. And if you get to looking just at that, it can depress us. We got to look past that fence to know that there's a heaven that Jesus said, I'm going to go away, prepare a place for you, and where I am, you may be also. And that's what we got to think about. It's past the fence. It's not here, it's there. So it's important that we keep our mindset on heavenly things, but we got to make sure we control the fence lines. You see, you got to see past the fences. Everybody wants a view. Everybody likes to see past the fence. I remember when we went to Joplin. Tornado would hit, and we were up there working on all those houses, helping people clean up. And you could stand on one hill, and you could just see those hills like this, rolling hills everywhere, and nothing but just total destruction. All the houses were torn completely down. You could see everywhere. And one of the neighbors was standing there, one of the guys that lived there was standing there with me. He goes, you know what? You could never see this before, because the trees are all in the way. He said, but now it's total devastation. He said, it's not a good thing to look at, but what he was saying was, I could never see down in there because there was too many things grown up. But see, God wants us to look past the fences. We got to claim the fences. Don't let the devil come in and take the stuff you got. Got to keep them clean, though. Keep all that stuff out of your heart. Don't let those fence rows get all cluttered out, because it'll move out into your field and it'll kill your fruit. And third thing is, you got to control those fences. Once you get them cleaned out, control them. Don't let them grow up. Don't let them grow up, because you got to see outside that. I want you to bow your heads this morning.